Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, we've got a very special Dumbership episode for you. What if I told you the only way you could buy cigarettes was if you hit 100 years old?
Oh, okay.
That's coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Also, one of the members of the Alliance of American Football's front office, league office, that would be J.K. McKay, will join us here on the show coming up in about 35 minutes from now. Hit us up on our toll-free numbers. We've been discussing Kevin Durant finally speaking out and lashing out at questions about his impending free agency, and the Lakers and Pelicans now with talks broken off. When I look at Kevin Durant, I see a guy that still lacks all types of self-awareness. I totally understand why athletes would be frustrated by the media. Totally get it. We are employed to criticize and speculate. That's what our employment usually is about. Yes, there are beat reporters. Yes, there are simply news reporters. But mostly in this day and age, sports media, and I suppose political media and news media as well, has turned into speculation and criticism. So look, nobody would be thrilled if that is the way they are being covered or discussed or talked about. But as I mentioned before, if you are Kevin Durant, how do you miss this? This is the ultimate personal block. It's the ultimate blind spot. You have left a team before. You have signed in free agency, which changed the franchises of both teams, the one that you left and the one that you joined. And you will not commit long-term to the Golden State Warriors. So what do you think people should do? You think people should ignore the fact that once again in your prime, you will become available as a free agent and will potentially alter the course of the franchise that gets you and the franchise that loses you? You think people should just ignore that until July? And what do you think helps if you don't say anything? You know, he who hath doth protest too much. If you're going to lash out at people speculating about where you might go, you might not want to go silent, because then that only enhances why people are talking about it, because there must be something afoot. If I was Kevin Durant, or I was Steve Kerr, or I was the front office, Bob Myers or whoever with the Warriors, or I was Kevin Durant's agent, here's what I would tell KD. KD, you can't stop people from projecting where you might go. It's the NBA's biggest parlor game. Where will the superstar sign in the offseason? We do it every year. You can't stop that. All you can do is go play basketball, and after the games, just divert those questions. See, this is what I don't understand. The playbook is there via the New England Patriots. The Patriots do this as well as anybody. I've sat in Patriots press conferences and asked Tom Brady a direct question. I've asked Bill Belichick a direct question. I've sat in that locker room and asked offensive linemen and defensive linemen and linebackers and safeties and wide receivers and running backs, and everybody was conditioned and taught to do the same thing. Divert difficult questions by saying, you know, we're on to Sunday's opponent. They're a really good opponent. It's going to take all of our attention to try to beat them. You can divert anything. You just don't have to fan any type of fire. And you can't stop people from speculating about where you're going to go. So either, KD, you go silent for the rest of the year. If you want, don't talk the rest of the year. Or when you talk, just divert. And say, hey, guys, you know, I don't want to really talk about free agency. We're here to win a championship. That's it. But Kevin Durant tried to do neither. He shut down questions for 9 days, and then when he came back, lashed out. And when he's asked about these things, apparently he can't divert. He's a weird dude. He's a great basketball player and a weird dude that lacks all self-awareness. Also, this is a guy that is fighting with kids on social media, and he is going to lecture others about professionalism and growing up. It's just hysterical. Like, what happens if every time KD fought with a preteen about his quote-unquote legacy in the Instagram comment section, somebody said, grow up? He's amazing. I mean, he's just the most, he lacks all self-awareness for a superstar. And just to expound upon that a little bit more, I think today's professional athletes mostly are short on emotional intelligence. I think some came from backgrounds where you deal with a lot of crap. Your parents may or may not be in the picture. You are forced to grow up around weird things and difficult situations. And you're not really taught emotional intelligence. You're not really taught the tools to help you get through those difficult times. You're kind of out there fending for yourself in the middle of perhaps a violent or dangerous or lonely place as a kid. And then because you're good at sports, these adults come into your life and start picking at you and wanting you and giving you all of these things. And now you're thrust into this some type of position of celebrity. And again, you've never developed any type of real internal groundedness or emotional intelligence. And so you just have these guys that come from really dysfunctional backgrounds and then thrust into the stratosphere and now have to deal with really big world problems. I just don't think any of these guys are really ready. And then also once you get into college and you play athletics or you get into the NFL or the NBA, everything is done for you. You know, I talk to Bart about this all the time. Bart's like, when I was playing, everything is laid out for me. Where I've got to be, how I'm going to get there, when I'm going to get there, my entire life is laid out. I just have to follow whatever the timeline says, the itinerary. I'm not making decisions. I'm doing exactly what they're telling me to do. Well, imagine you never have to make your own decisions. Then you get to a point in time and you just don't have the wherewithal to deal with big picture stuff. And that's really what Kevin Durant is. I mean, he's really a child. He's really an emotional child. He's really like an 11-year-old in many ways, but he is nearing 30 and he's a multimillionaire and we just kind of expect him to act like an adult, but he's emotionally not an adult. I don't think he's a bad guy. He's just mostly a 12-year-old emotionally. And we see this time and time and time and time again. I mean, look at his timeline. His timeline is in Oklahoma City. He loves being loved. He loves being the good guy. He loves it. The city loves him. He's kind of a hero. He wears a backpack to work. Everyone's like, wow, he's a good dude. He's so humble. And he's like a 7-year-old. He likes being liked. Well, mom and dad like me. Kids like me at school. Grandma likes me. This is cool. Then he starts getting pressure from peers to win a championship. And he starts hearing from his peers, well, why don't you win a championship? And so then he feels the pressure to have to go win a championship and to be comfortable. He wants to go hang out with his friends. Russell Westbrook is getting a little bit too hard. So he goes to hang out with his friends and to win a championship. That's his peers, and he does that. Now he feels better. But now there's all this criticism around him, and he doesn't like being criticized. He doesn't understand being criticized, so he lashes out, and he gets on social media, and he fights back, and he's like a 13-year-old. And now, again, he is thrust into the spotlight of, hey, you've got to make a decision again. And he doesn't like that people are talking about him. So he's like a 16-year-old. He's like, stop talking about me. I'm going to my room. And then he goes to his room for like a day and a half. And you can't get him out of his room. And then suddenly he opens up the door and yells at you. Mom and Dad, I hate you. Leave me alone. He was just going through all this kid emotional stuff, which is, I mean, I kind of feel for him because he's an adult and he clearly doesn't have the emotional wherewithal to deal with a lot of this stuff. I hate you guys. Stop talking about me so much. Can't I just go to class? Can I just hang out with my friends? Can I just go to the mall? It's kind of what he's doing right now. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are not signed. And it is 6 days until pitchers and catchers report. Look, I think betting that it was going to happen and wrap up winter meetings was ahead of schedule. I think betting that it was going to happen by the holidays, way ahead of schedule. But I thought it would happen by pitchers and catchers. I never thought it would take this long. I think Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are the guinea pigs, the really big guinea pigs of the new norm in Major League Baseball. And the new norm is we're not paying for 30-year-olds. Oh, no, we're not paying for 30-year-olds. Now, they're only 26, but they want contracts that carry them into their 30s. And because of analytics and a new school thinking and general managers not wanting to break the bank on 30-year-olds because all of their charts are telling them it's a bad investment, they're saying, well, we'll go short-term for you. 3 years, great. Maybe even 4 years. But 5, 6, 7, no way. And these guys thought they were going to scratch off their lottery ticket this year for the next 7 to 10 years. A-Rod's contract, 10-year contract when he signed. 10 years. Albert Pujols, a decade-long contract. Giancarlo Stanton, 10 years. These guys thought 10 years, here we go, guaranteed money. We're rich. We're good. They're not going to get that. So they overplayed their hand. What I also think is, do I think there's collusion? I don't think the league's owners are saying to one another, don't sign Manny Machado, don't sign Bryce Harper. I do think these owners are sitting back and laughing that they're not signed. And I think these owners really enjoy the fact that two of the highest priced tickets out there are not signed and the demand is not there because ultimately that depresses the market and they like that. I don't think there's an unofficial memo, an official memo, some type of skull and crossbones. Don't sign them. Don't sign them. Psst, 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 don't sign. I just think they sit back and they kind of love that the market is depressed, and so nobody wants to act out because they say this is great, great for business. There's also one other element that I have not heard discussed that I've thought about. I wonder if Major League Baseball owners see the end of the line for their unbelievable return financially on their baseball investment. I mean, I don't think it's coincidental that we're in the middle of an offseason where nobody wants to pay out long-term money. And the commissioner just laid out 3 dramatic rules changes to speed up the game. Pitch clock, universal DH, minimum 3 hitters that a reliever has to face. Why do these coincide? They coincide because the commissioner, the leader of this league, is going, we're broken right now. We see the end of the line. We can't have a healthy league if the only people that really love this league are 50 plus or 60 plus. We've got less action, less offense. Kids aren't watching. Our ratings on World Series keep going down. Our ratings of the All-Star Game keep going down. Our ratings on postseasons keep going down. Yeah, we've got good attendance. And yes, our television deals are great. But I think baseball people, owners, the commissioner, the people that really make their wealth on the game, are very nervous about what baseball looks like in 2030. I think they're really nervous of what this league looks like 10 years from now. Because if you don't have a 12-year-old now, then you don't have a 25-year-old then. And if you don't have a 20-year-old now, you don't have a 30-year-old then when he's finally got buying power. And if all you have is 50 and 60-year-olds, those people die soon. I hate to say it, but not 10 years, but, you know, you can see the end. And I wonder if all of these owners are going, I'm not spending $45 million a year on a player 10 years from now, because I don't know if I'll have $45 million a year to spend on a player then. We just kind of assume that the value of these franchises, the value of a league, goes up every year exponentially because that's what we've always seen. I think baseball is very scared about its future. That is evident. And that playing their future out fiscally longer than 3 or 4 years after local television deals come up. What's the future of cable television? What's the future of their rights? What's the future of the national broadcast money that comes in? What's their future financially? I think that worries them. And I think it really prevents them from thinking long-term about having a 26-year-old on their roster at 32, 33, 34 years old. And that's where this impasse comes from. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. I mean, the Wizards are going to pay John Wall $47 million a year 5 years from now. Guess what? They're pretty confident they will have that money because their ascent is obvious. NBA ascent and valuation of franchises is obvious. MLB? Not so much. When we come back here on the DA show, a little dumbership. What happens if you had to be 100 years old to legally buy cigarettes? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Get him out.
Get him out. Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder, you can follow me on all my social media accounts for behind the scenes on the DA show. On Twitter, it's DA on CBS. On Instagram, it's at Damon Amendo. And on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, as always. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. One lost muffin tweets. While I'm sad you didn't go with the San Antonio Commanders, DA, I'm glad somebody's giving the Alliance the attention it needs. Now I'm looking forward to the Commanders versus Hotshots games. Hashtag take command.
Decision.
Decision.
Alliance.
Alliance.
Decision.
Alliance.
It's very traumatic around here. It's been an emotional whirlwind of a day. Today we chose our Alliance football teams for this weekend.
Oh, no, not for this weekend. For life.
Right. This is opening weekend of the brand new Spring Football League. Help me out here, Mraz. I took the Arizona Hotshots. My head coach is Rick Neuheisel.
I think so. I have to look that back up.
Yes, it's Neuheisel.
You know your offensive coordinator, obviously.
I don't.
Hugh Freeze.
Really?
Yes.
I thought he's the head coach of Liberty.
Oh, did he leave that post now?
Yeah.
Well, the Hotshots website as of today still has him listed as their offensive coordinator.
I think he's the head coach of Liberty now.
Could he be doing both?
Unless he left Liberty for the Hotshots?
If you go to the Hotshots website and you click roster and then you click staff, on the staff, he's still listed.
Hugh Freeze.
Okay. Well, look, if Hugh Freeze is on my current roster or was on my roster, I'm all in on all of it, okay?
Huge, whatever his name is.
Now, Pete the Body Bellotti took the Memphis Express head coach, Mike Singletary.
Correct.
We want winners. Andrew Bogish selected the San Diego Fleet. And their head coach is Mike Martz. And Mraz has selected the Orlando Apollos.
Steve Spurrier.
Their head coach is Steve Spurrier. So there is a lot to get in line with. And this weekend, Mraz, can you give us, will we have any rivalry, DA show rivalry games this weekend, an opening weekend? There's only eight teams. There's four games.
Yeah, well, the Commanders are playing the Fleet, so we're out on that for Bogish. Okay. I'm playing the Legends, so we're out on that. I believe the Hotshots are playing the Stallions, and the Iron are playing the Express, so I don't think we get a rivalry right out the chute. I think there's natural rivalries in week one. There's just not show rivalries
okay.
in week one.
All right, gotcha. Although we will say that our man, our wizard on the web simulcast at watchda.com, Andrew Kaplan, has selected the Birmingham Iron. And so there will be a DA show rivalry game, Iron v. Express. That is a Kaplan versus a Bilotti matchup.
Yeah, I believe you could catch that game on CBS Sports Network Sunday at 3 p.m., I believe.
So,
by the way, Hot Shots right out the gate, Sunday Night Football.
Is
you gotta
right?
love that.
Yeah, right.
So NFL Network Sunday night game. I mean, to close out the big AAF weekend, that's where Phil Savage's boys get to go to work.
Waiting all week for a Sunday night.
Maybe
Lions
that's
football
that,
is all right.
That's it. That should have been Huge Freeze's role. He could have become the new Sunday night football theme song person for the Alliance. Imagine him in some high boots. He could have borrowed Tiki's kicky boots.
On the flagship, on CBS, the flagship, your flagship national CBS network, where like you watch Big Bang Theory, they will carry Atlanta, Orlando, or San Diego, San Antonio, based on where you are in America, your regional game, at 8 p.m. Eastern time Saturday night. Then on Sunday, CBS Sports Network has Memphis, Birmingham, and the late game, the Sunday night game, as Mraz mentions, my Arizona Hotshots take it on the Salt Lake Stallions at 6 p.m., local time, 8 p.m. Eastern time on the NFL Network. We will also have J.K. McKay from the front office of the league office of the AAF joining us in about 15 minutes from now, and we have spent a lot of time in the Alliance today. Wow.
If the Hot Shots win, I think we might have Scooby Wright on the show next week.
If they win, only.
By the way, if you went to Vegas and checked the odds... On the futures, winning the championship, I believe the Hot Shots are near the top. I think the Atlanta Legends could be as well. However, there is also if no championship game is played. Could you imagine laying money on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl next year, but couching it, hedging it with the if the Super Bowl is not played, Ben.
That's certainly not good. I didn't know it was an option.
There is Vegas sports books. They're not totally confident a championship game will even be played if the season will actually finish out. I've got to ask J.K. McKay about that. What are the odds in the league office that you guys don't actually get all the way to a championship game?
Right off the bat, too. Ask that question.
Yeah. I'll soft sell him right off the bat there. What are the odds that this thing goes down in a flaming hunk? Can we get to Dummership here before we get to Andrew Bogish?
You Earthlings are strange life forms. DA, should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of The Dummership.
We are huge in Hawaii. No, really. Mraz went out there and found out we're huge in Hawaii, right?
We're huge. Kauai, we have a fanship in Kauai that is unbelievable.
So let's look at Hawaii State House, where yesterday a new bill introduced calls for the phased ban of cigarette sales in Hawaii by 2024. They found, according to the bill, they feel as though the cigarette is the deadliest artifact in human history. Hawaii has already had some of the most restrictive cigarette laws in the entire country. 2 years ago, they became the first state to raise the age to buy cigarettes to 21. Now, the new bill says by next year, you won't be able to buy cigarettes until you're 30. And then the year after that, you'll buy cigarettes only if you're 40. Then the legal age to buy cigarettes after that the next year is 50, and then 60. And then by 2024, you will be unable to buy cigs unless you're 100 years old. So essentially, you won't be able to buy cigarettes unless you're one of the 15 oldest people on Earth in Hawaii. And this is amazing because who would then carry cigarettes? If only 100-year-old people could buy them, why would you ever stock them? Essentially, there would be nowhere to buy them. I guess maybe from a wholesaler that you would fly them in or something like that if they could double check your age. I don't know how you would even, like, would you only sell them at retirement homes and only sell, like, a box every 10 years?
You put the old cigarette dispensing machines right next to the bingo hole in the retirement homes.
You've had to hit 100 to buy them. Also, think about this. If you are, say, 18 years old and you want to smoke a puff, you want to sneak one out, you know, behind the schoolyard or something, you'd have to find a 100-year-old person to buy you the cigarettes. It's not like paying some dude in college to go buy you beer. You have to find a 100-year-old to be like, Gramps, I need my cigs. Can you go get me a box of Marlboro Lights?
Great Grams.
Great Grams.
Great Grams. I need to take a puff here.
Hey, I can't hear you. Yeah. Yeah, hey. Old man. I need my Virginia Slims. How do I get them? You the FBI? I'm 18 years old. I just want to smoke a cigarette. Where's my pudding?
How did that happen?
Could you imagine if he had to be 100 years old?
See, you're missing the point, though, here. The bonus is that birthdays finally mean something again. Because once the last positive birthday milestone is at 25 renting a car.
Yeah.
After that, they're all downhill. 30, 40, AARP, Social Security, like early bird specials, movie discount tickets. Those are all, in a way,
depressing.
Insulting. This one at 100, light me up. That's the way to go. There's a reason that it get to 100 again.
And imagine,
so you can die from lung cancer.
Imagine you were healthy enough to get to 100, and then the moment you finally get there, you start smoking cigarettes and you die in 3 days.
And a pack of cigarettes in your mouth. Light the whole thing up.
By the way, this is the only way we'll save Jody Mack. I mean, if we do this, we have to station Jody in Hawaii to save his career. It's the only way.
Not his career.
Or he'd have a new career. He'd just be peddling cigarettes to younger people.
Forging IDs to be older again to buy cigarettes.
Hang on. This ID says you're 101. You don't look a day over 40.
Jody Mack with the McLovin ID.
He's robbing graveyards to get old identities out.
It's one name. It's strategy.
I love the filters on those things.
Good for her. God bless.
Jody becomes the most eligible bachelor in all of the country because he's the one guy that's got all the cigs for all the septuagenarians. Hey, I need my cigs. Where am I going to get them? You're only 85, Pop. Sorry. Wait another 15 years. But you can go get him off the Jody Mack truck. He's got the black market truck in Chinatown. They're selling bags.
He's opening up the trench coat. He's got cigarettes hanging off it. Like a Rolex.
Now, if y'all want to party like we do.
That's not a real Louis Vuitton bag. And that's not a real Winston.
Yeah.
I know that's not a real. You got a spot. Jody Mack's got knockoff cigs.
He's selling Kurt Werner jerseys.
Oh, it's great. When we come back here on the show, J.K. McKay from the League Office of the Alliance will discuss our Alliance signing day next. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
It's the D.A. Show on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Send us tweets, D.A. on CBS, or dial us up at 855-212-4227. As we've mentioned today, it was National Alliance Signing Day for us. I selected the Arizona Hotshots. I love the nickname of firefighters, of forest fires in Arizona. Those guys that put their lives on the line and have already done so. I think that's a noble cause and a cool nickname. Mraz has gone with the Orlando Apollos. He wants the razzle dazzle of Steve Spurrier. Pete the Body is all in on the Memphis Express. He's wearing his duds right now. You can watch at watchda.com to see all of the threads that the Alliance has sent us for this. And Pete the Body is all in on Mike Singletary getting back into coaching and press conferences. And Andrew Bogish has selected the San Diego Fleet, maybe the best logo in all of the Alliance. Joining us here on the show is a guy that actually joined us about a year ago to discuss the startup, the league, and that is the head of football operations for the Alliance, where opening weekend is this weekend, J.K. McKay. J.K., good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing really well. We've got Alliance fever.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting after all this. We're 2 days away. It's pretty incredible.
For our listeners, give us a thumbnail on the best three or four players in this league. If there was an MVP of the Alliance, who should our listeners be watching for early this season?
You know, your listeners will watch and they'll decide, because it'll be. I'll tell you this right now. I'm not going to give you names because I don't want to exclude anybody, but it'll be somebody that we don't expect. Having done this before at the team level, way back in the old XFL in 2001. I had a quarterback coming out of UCLA that had done nothing in the NFL, and he came into our league. His name is Tommy Maddox, and he just lit it up. So there's going to be some of those guys. I think it's going to be somebody you don't expect, and when you get to see him play, you'll say, God, that guy's a lot better than I ever thought he was. You know, there are some names in the league that people will know, particularly because we've allocated players to their local teams. You know, Aaron Murray's going to be playing locally in Atlanta, and in each market, there are guys like that. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges.
We had Brady Quinn join us before you even began the Alliance, and he had said there are plenty of veteran players in the NFL that are just on the outside that would love a different opportunity, like a spring league, to show their wares. Brady's not in this league, but a guy like Aaron Murray is. A guy like Christian Hackenberg, Zach Mettenberger, guys just on the outside of NFL rosters. Were you pleased to see guys that had played in the NFL or been drafted and their interest in your league?
Absolutely. I think that was important to us. I was just looking at the numbers today, and then our 52-man rosters on each of our teams. Over 80% of the guys on those rosters have signed NFL contracts. Many of them, however, you get into camp, you might get into a preseason game, but you don't really get into games that matter, and you don't get game time. And some guys are just better when it's a game as opposed to a practice. So like I said, I think we'll have stars emerge. I am really pleased at the number of former NFL players that are interested in our league and the opportunity that it provides them.
J.K. McKay joins us from the Alliance of American Football. When you joined us a year ago, you thought a good target for year one might be attendance like 30 to 40,000 people. You said that would be a huge success. Is that still a target point that you would think would be a real big success this year?
Oh, that'd be a home run, I think. I have no idea where we are on that. I think it'll build. We've kind of been under the radar a little bit, and that's a little bit intentional in that we're trying to build this thing the right way for success in years two, three, four, five. We have to prove ourselves, I think, in each of our markets. But I think our fans are going to like it. It's going to be fun. Hopefully over time our attendance will go up as opposed to the other direction.
There was a meet and greet for the Birmingham Iron for fans, season ticket holders, et cetera, the other day at $150 a plate, and it sold out. It was a really impressive event. What city or what fan base has been the strongest going into week one?
You know, that's interesting. I've been around to all of them. They all have a high degree of interest, surprisingly high degree of interest when I've been down in San Diego, which, you know, there's a lot going on down there, but a lot of people are interested in the San Diego Fleet, and I've seen the same thing in San Antonio. Of course, we had our training camp there for the month of January, so we had all eight teams there, but to everybody in San Antonio, they recognize the Alliance logo now. They've seen it, and they seem to be kind of excited about it. That'll be the really interesting thing to see which fan base really rises up and supports their team. Part of that may have to do with wins and losses.
There is a modernization that you guys, and I know talking to Charlie Ebersole, he would like to see, which is social engagement, which is technological engagement, fantasy football numbers, stats, and things that young people get into when it comes to sports. How important is the technological aspect of bringing in a younger audience?
I think it's extremely important, and it's garnered a lot of interest from others in the sports world to watch what Charlie and his group are doing in terms of building this app that is revolutionary. I am not a techie. I'm a football guy, so I'm not sure I even understand it, all it can and will do, but it is, I'm told, cutting edge and has some amazing people involved in building it. So that, I think that's going to be a really important aspect of what we're doing.
So you sound confident, JK. You always do. But, I mean, you've got to open up buildings. You've got to make sure the lights are on. You've got to make sure that the tickets are ripped. You've got to make sure that guys have their Gatorade and their helmets and the stickers on the helmets. So it's got to feel like a scramble right now at the 11th hour, a little bit, right?
Oh, 100%. It's, you know, every day, as we say, every day is a fire drill. You know, we're trying to put this thing together. We have a checklist at every stadium, things we need to check on game day, and it is about 6 pages long, might have 500 items on it. So yeah, we're trying to get everything right. And when you know the first game makes me extremely nervous in each of our stadiums, but you know there will, as I always say, we'll drop some balls, but we got to pick them up in a hurry. So we'll try to get it. Anything that goes wrong, we'll try to fix it as quick as we can. But we're excited about it. We've got good people involved in each of the markets, so I really do feel good about it.
I've already told my wife we're an AAF household. I am upset by the XFL. Did the XFL try to steal your thunder yesterday with the Bob Stoops news?
I just heard that. I'm not following those. You know, I like I said, I worked in the old XFL, so I know Vince McMahon personally. I don't have any idea what they're doing or what their plan is. I haven't spoken with anybody about it. I'm focused on what we're doing.
I want you to know that this show is very supportive of the league. We've already had our national sign today, choosing our teams amongst the hats and the great logos of the Alliance. So anything that you need, JK, you just reach out to us, and we got your back on this.
So you got swag for me?
Yeah, we got swag for you. We were hoping you would have swag for us. But yes, we can send you the unused swag if you need it.
The problem I've got is for the first time in my life, I've always been at the team level, and now I'm at the league level. I have to be neutral. I can't. I got to wear league
there's
swag.
No fun in that.
No.
There's no fun
I
in
know.
That. Hey, man, good luck with this opening weekend. Really excited for you guys. We will certainly be following and watching, and I wish you the best of luck, man.
Anything you guys need, please feel free to call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
J.K. McKay joins us, head of football operations for the Alliance of American Football. Mraz, it's starting to get hot in that kitchen.
We may drop some balls, but we'll pick them up quickly.
Damn straight.
I like that attitude. He, by the way, he knows what's going on over there with Bob Stoops in the XFL. It's a downplay.
Totally. That's what Kevin Durant should be doing about his free agency. Nothing to see here. Not even paying attention to it. You know, JK knows what's going on. He's got the talking points.
And you can't tell me JK doesn't have a Birmingham Iron shirt there somewhere in his closet.
How about that San Diego getting a lot of run and San Antonio heavy interest locally? Good to know. That's some early good tips, insight for us.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if those teams get home field advantage, look out in the playoffs.
Got to watch out. You know, you just don't go to San Diego and beat the Fleet.
It's tough. It's the rally towels, thunder sticks, the whole nine.
It's like going to Gillette. You can't do it. You don't go to Gillette and win in January. Just like you do not go to San Diego and win in, it's going to be April, I guess, the playoffs?
Yeah, mid-April.
Okay, mid-April. Now let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. What about fencing?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Would you even know what the rules are to fencing?
Yeah, I think you joust, and then the moment you're poked, you lose.
That's it, you lose. That guy's out.
Yes.
You think it's just one poke, win or lose?
Maybe it's best of seven series.
Best of seven pokes?
Best of seven pokes, yeah, sure.
Okay.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
You just think it's a series of whoever pokes first, that's a win, best of seven.
Well, you're saying, do I think? Do you even know how fencing works?
No idea.
So my theory's a lot better than yours because you don't even have an idea.
I think there's a point system.
There's no point. Who's tracking points there?
I think it's...
This isn't the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, I think if you poke, like, in the heart area, that's a higher point than if you poke in, like, the elbow or the shoulder. Because I think it has to do probably with old school. If you can poke near the heart, that guy's dead. If you poke near an extremity, he's not
no,
dead.
No, you got it all wrong. You ever watch fencing in like a bad movie or something?
No.
I think they fenced in Richie Rich, and if I remember correctly...
Watch your rear, Ellsworth. First rule of defense.
It's just a poke and you're dead, and that's
okay.
it.
So your theory is you're taking your official scoring system from Richie Rich the movie.
First rule of defense, Rich. Always watch your rear.
Yes, good movie. At least I have. You're taking it from nothing. You got point system. What time to tally points? Imagine the judge controversy in 1493 when they were fencing.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, I don't think that the scoring system is the same today as there was in 1493. It is an Olympic sport.
Oh, so we're changing it, like the DH in the National League. We've changed it over time. No, fencing is at its core is like horse racing. You know who wins a horse race. You know who wins a fencing bout.
You want them to ride horses down to Deegan out of the game, too?
A fencing bout. It's an Olympic sport. They have to have some type of scoring system. It can't just be best of seven pokes.
All right, so call Al Troutwig. He's always at the Olympics. He has to know.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Points are scored by touching an opponent with the tip of the blade of your sword, which is wired to a buzzer that sounds to indicate contact on a valid target area. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bellotti, Andrew Kaplan, and Andrew Bogish. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.